This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
We've made it to a Friday drive. It is WSJS. News talk sports for the triad, where the guest list today is an adventure. This is a developing story. This is a true story. Got a text from Wake Forest basketball coach Steve Forbes.
Well?
Who said, I got in late last night. I'm not feeling all that well, but I'm going to try to head on over after practice.
What?
I asked, when might that be? He said, after practice. So well, at some point,
It's going to be a treat.
Steve Forbes might just show up in the studio. And I don't know when. Wes Durham, also featured on the program.
On the legendary WSJS.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. Glad to have you in. Let's get to perhaps the biggest football game during the 7.5 year run of this show. Sunday afternoon, Bank of America Stadium. The setting is perfectly ripe for a Carolina Panthers win. The trends since really October, towards the end of October, all point towards the team wearing process blue. It points towards the Panthers. Tampa Bay has lost 5 of its last 6 games. This is a team that started 6-2. Since then, losing 5 of the last 6 games. Carolina, meanwhile, has not lost consecutive games since starting the season 0-2. Of course, last week, lost in New Orleans last weekend. So, what you're saying is, if they haven't lost back-to-back games and they lost last weekend, understand where you're headed here. The Panthers have proven time and time again to rise to the occasion. The Cowboy game felt big. Carolina won it. As did the game in Lambeau. Carolina, that game felt big for the Panthers too. Another last-second win. The Rams game, the home game against the Rams. How huge was that? Carolina holding on yet again. But all of those games pale in comparison to the stakes of Panthers-Bucks Sunday at 1 o'clock. It is an absolute must-win for the Carolina Panthers. First place in the NFC South on the line. You're at home. Tampa has the tiebreaker head-to-head. If you both split the two meetings, these teams meeting 2 of the last 3 weeks of the season. Also, there's an element of not wanting a team that's lost 5 of its last 6 to get off the mat. Don't let them off the mat. Don't give them confidence. A team that's won the last 4 NFC South crowns. And Carolina should have a real home field advantage. When's the last time we said that about the Carolina Panthers? That an element, something that you would consider as being impactful in a game, is Carolina's home crowd. That will be the case. It is likely to be a special atmosphere. A gigantic crowd, not because of the team that's on the other side, Bills fans, Cowboy fans, flooding things. No, people there to root on the Panthers. Temps are in the 60s. It's going to be sunny. Carolina should have a home field advantage. The trends are pointing towards them. The vibes are with them. In terms of their identity, they've always risen to the occasion. And also, they've been a good home team. They've only lost twice at home this year. That won't change Sunday. The Panthers not only beat the Bucks, the Panthers beat the Bucks by double digits. Carolina 27, Tampa Bay 17. On X at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio. It's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, he is the executive producer of... No.
Are you not aware
okay.
of what's happening right now?
That's fine.
You're so busy looking out the window for Steve Forbes, you forget.
It's true.
NC State, they are in the first quarter of action against
Football.
Football! Against Memphis in the Gasparilla Bowl.
Tampa.
Down at Raymond James Stadium.
With Pirates in the end zone.
If you needed more evidence of where they're playing, here's a picture of Baker Mayfield and CJ Bailey.
Oh!
Yeah, before the game.
Have you seen the end zones?
No.
They're Pirates, and also CJ Bailey just threw a touchdown.
So that now will, assuming they hit the extra point.
Former Deke Wesley Grimes.
31-yarder. If they hit the extra point, that'll make it 14-0 pack. This coming a day after Hollywood Smothers entered the transfer portal.
Thank you for that note. Yeah. That's what we call live action, Tracy.
Got that right.
It's live action, Tracy.
Now let's get to basketball. This weekend is a valuable data point for the ACC Big Four. A valuable data point. Duke Texas Tech is the main event. Primetime, MSG, two top 20 teams, national network game on Fox. This is likely Duke's second most difficult game this year. You might say Florida, but that was at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Texas Tech, top 20 team, and you have them on a neutral court here. The Blue Devils, they have a chance to start 12-0. The last time a Blue Devil team started 12-0 was the Blue Devils' most recent national title team, the Jahlil Okafor squad, 2014-2015. So that's the main event. The most important game of the weekend is the one featuring our guy Steve Forbes.
Well,
Wake Forest, Vanderbilt. The Deeks, they are welcoming a top 15 team to the Joel. The Commodores, they are 11-0. And let's not forget, Will, how many top 15 teams are in the ACC right now?
It's four, right? You got Carolina, Duke, Louisville, and Virginia.
Virginia's not top 15.
Or not 15.
They're ranked. Not top 15. So the point, you don't have Duke at home. You don't have Carolina at home if you're Wake. So you don't have a lot of opportunities. It is incredibly rare to get a top 15 team going into your building. And that's what you have if you're Steve Forbes, desperately needing a resume win to go along with the Memphis and West Virginia wins. If you don't win it, you're not feeling good about your chances. If you do win it, then you're feeling really good. You feel really good about your resume going into the start of conference play. You had those two close calls against Michigan and Texas Tech, of course. North Carolina and NC State should both win their non-conference games. We do have some breaking news. According to Jeff Goodman, Seth Trimble expected to make the start. Maybe not the start. He's going to be in the lineup for North Carolina tomorrow against Ohio State. This is in Atlanta. This is the game that's going to get a lot less attention in Atlanta because Rick Pitino's St. John's team's going up against Kentucky. So you had that to look forward to as part of the CBS Sports Classic. The Tar Heels facing Ohio State almost 6 weeks to the day that Seth Trimble sustained that forearm injury, breaking a bone in his forearm. He will be back and ready to go for the Tar Heels. They should win that game. Ohio State's not all that good. NC State is going to be in Greensbury on Sunday afternoon. They're facing an unspecial Chris Beard Ole Miss team. We heard the speech from Will Wade earlier this week after beating Texas Southern. We'll see how the team responds here locally in the Triad in a non-conference game against Ole Miss. So that's quite a bit to look forward to. Duke, Texas Tech. You have Wake Forest, Vanderbilt, NC State, Ole Miss, and Greensboro, North Carolina, Ohio State, and Atlanta. And we didn't even mention the fact, you're talking about the Gasparilla Bowl with the end zones having Pirates in it and NC State up 14-0. By the way, Anish Shroff, our buddy, calling that game. Let's not forget, the college football playoff starts tonight. Has that dawned on you yet that we have on ABC tonight?
It has.
Oklahoma hosting Alabama.
It has dawned on me.
have that. We'll get to some of our playoff predictions a little bit later on. A reminder from a programming perspective, our last show, the last edition of The Drive with Josh Graham, will be on Monday. That'll be our last one before I appear on WSJS in a different context, hosting a national program for our friends at Westwood One Sports. Yes, Will Dalton, that is a national program.
You know, Claire, we are a national organization.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
This is a segment we're going to call Josh Reads the Paper. This actually is what radio used to be way back in the day, I think.
They just read the paper out loud?
I think that's a thing that happened. Like, do you even know, Will, what the call letters of WSJS stands for?
Winston-Salem.
Yes.
Is the J the journal?
The J does stand for journal.
And then the last S, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
Well, it didn't sound like you were 100% sure about the J either.
I was pretty sure about that. Okay. Because I'd heard the history.
Do you want any guesses of what the S stands for in Winston-Salem Journal or WSJS?
Winston-Salem Journal. Sound.
That's it.
Is that right?
No. Sentinel.
I was going to say, that really...
Sentinel. So, because back in the day, Will, there was the Winston-Salem Journal and there was the Twin City Sentinel.
Yeah.
So, both those put together, WSJS. So, I don't know if that's how they did it back in the day, but that's how I'm imagining. Can you see if you could find me some, like, old-timey music so I can give this the proper due?
Type of, what decade are you thinking?
30s, 40s.
Okay.
See, WSJS went on the air for the first time, Will, in April of 1930. That was the month that they aired the Moravian Easter service, and history was made. You think it's history that 7.5 years went by of us hosting this show, and it is the longest running daily sports talk show in the history of the Triad, but how about the longest running continuously scheduled broadcast in the history of radio? 1930, that Moravian Easter service being aired, the sunrise service, every year since then. Let me open up the paper here. WSJS has a popular radio show coming to an end.
That's pretty good.
The Drive with Josh Graham has been on the air for more than 7 years. John Dell, staff reporter. Those who listen to The Drive with Josh Graham on WSJS radio are not surprised that when Graham was asked if his 7.5 year run with Cal Ripken-like, he chuckled. Graham, an avid Baltimore Orioles fan, said that his run was about half of what Ripken's record was when he went on his 2,632 consecutive game streak. And that's a record that won't ever be broken. What also might not be broken is Graham's run for a sports talk radio show in the Triad. He has filled 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. From July 2018, he's built up an audience thanks to his variety. I don't know why I'm saying that way. And knowledge. I'm quoted in this story, Will. Also, Steve Forbes is quoted in this story.
Well,
Tom Hamilton, our boss, is quoted in this story. I'm not going to do an impression of my boss.
You don't want to take a crack at it?
Well, I guess he's only my boss for one more day.
Yeah, what can happen? Not make it to Monday?
We are not getting... No, I'm not doing it. We're not getting rid of Josh. Quote, we're not getting rid of Josh. We'll still have access to Josh. He's still going to be on our station. Hamilton said, he's going to do a great job, and it's a great opportunity for him. He's worked really hard, deserves for others to learn the way that we've learned about him. That's what it says here. This is the part where it gets controversial, Will.
Oh.
It's controversial. Will Dalton has been Graham's producer for the last 3 years, 3.5 years. He's filled in for Graham on occasions. Graham didn't know what would happen with the show in the future, but wouldn't mind seeing Dalton getting a shot at his own show. Hmm?
Would you look at that? The things you hear in the paper must be true.
My words were twisted.
This oh, really? Construed.
I didn't say that.
Oh, really?
I said I'm going to do whatever's best for the ball club. Take it one day at a time. That's what I said. I think John Dell's misquoting me in the papers. In the papers. In the papers. Is there anything else?
I don't know, but this music and the voice, this has gone better than I thought it would.
I didn't have any plans for this segment.
Well, it worked out pretty
well. Honestly, I had it written down that Steve Forbes is going to be here right about now. And
he ain't.
He's not here.
Will?
Is he going to show up? We'll find out.
Coach, you listening? You on the way?
He does listen at about this time.
Yes, he does.
So we'll find out together if he drops in. John Dell just wrote in.
John Dell!
The Sentinel was the afternoon paper. The Journal was the morning paper. Printed 2 papers a day. Ah, history! History from John Dell there. There you go. That concludes a segment called Josh Reads the Paper. Whoa.
I guess it is like the Audible version. It's like if you read an audiobook, you just listen to it. It's what you just did.
There are probably hosts still now that like turn through these and this is how they get their content. Whoa. The Dow Jones closed at 47.9? Crazy. I don't know what that means.
Let's just
send me that cash out, fam.
Trying to see what else
that
is
in there for that.
Trying to see what else is in the papers. The recommending some Christmas movies.
Still calling it the papers.
Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, Christmas Story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
I've seen all those movies. Would
some
you look
things,
at that?
Some things that you should potentially check out. Oh, we got comics. This is good.
That's my section.
This is really, really good stuff. Okay, there you go.
Any coupons in there?
Didn't see any. Transitioning. The college football playoff starts tonight. Do you know what would be really bad radio?
What's that?
If I just went and picked every single one of these games, that'd probably be bad radio. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm just going to make 3 predictions. 3 predictions for the whole college football playoff that starts tonight with Alabama facing Oklahoma. And those predictions start here, Will. The first round, probably not going to be that great, but there will be a team, Will, playing this weekend that advances to the championship game. It was Notre Dame last year that won 3 games to get to the title game before falling to Ohio State. So who are the candidates to do that? Who can win multiple games? Who can make that type of a run? 2 teams, Alabama and Oregon. They have the capability to do it. Bama has national title level talent. Oregon has a really good coach, a good draw. I think that would be a heck of a game against Texas Tech in round 2. Should they take care of their business, as everyone expects they will, against James Madison tomorrow night. 2nd prediction, the winner of Georgia-Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, which is a semifinal, is going to win it all. That is what we seem headed towards in the semifinals. The Dogs, the Buckeyes, the Hoosiers, those 3 teams feel like the 3 that can win a national championship. So the champs from Columbus facing Georgia, the winner of that game is going to end up winning the national championship in Miami, and that team will be the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're going to become the first repeat champion since Alabama in 2011-2012. And here's their opponent. The team that will be playing in the title game that we will see this weekend is the Oregon Ducks. They're getting healthier. They got a great draw where they get JMU tomorrow. Think they can match up well with Texas Tech. Think they will do okay against either Indiana or Alabama on the top side as well. Oregon, who was great last year, the best team, the favorite, going into the playoff a year ago. Oregon gets to the championship game, falls to Ohio State, marking four straight years that, is it four or three straight years, that the Big Ten has won the national championship if this happens. Michigan, Ohio State, and Ohio State. So three straight years.
Yep.
So there you go. Three college football playoff predictions, and also everybody being upset because there are a lot of blowouts this weekend, as if there aren't a lot of blowouts in round one of the NCAA basketball tournament. Oh, change the format. Oh, it's wrong that that team got in. Okay.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Steve Forbes hanging out in studio with us. Now we get to the fun stuff.
Fun.
You did help me. You weren't taking credit falsely.
No.
You did help me in talking to decision makers at Westwood One, which, to quote John Hamm in The Town, is a national organization.
You know, we are a national organization.
Just got to make sure that's known. Great movie. This is the part people need to know, though. The backstory. You had the conversation with the Westwood One folks where?
In Hobby Lobby.
How long was this conversation?
It was very long. It was over 20 minutes.
So let's paint the picture. It's during the day?
Yes.
You're standing in the Hobby Lobby on the phone.
I wasn't standing.
Basketball coach.
I was moving around because I'd become very frustrated with my existence in Hobby Lobby looking for Garland. And my wife was in her wheelchair and she was dinking around. I'm like, I can't handle this. So I start moving around and there's this guy like, hey, coach, what are you doing? I go, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. And then the lifeline came. My phone rang and I had a call. And what's his name?
Armin.
Armin called me, and I'm like, thank God. And so I walked. I got to know Hobby Lobby pretty well after that 20-minute conversation because I walked a lot of aisles on the phone.
I was actually in the Hobby Lobby later that day. I would find out, finding Grinch stuff. And I now have a Grinch that overlooks the road.
It's nice.
It's big. You sent me some pictures.
Well, I got the Christmas Story Village.
I have a picture of the village.
It's very good.
I've checked to make sure everything's okay on the picture. It's good. Here's for those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and X.
Take a picture of my house?
No, you sent me these.
Okay.
So I'm just saying you got the Christmas tree up. You have a village.
I do.
Of Grinch stuff.
I do. It's not really a village. It's a little more caricatures. I have the village of the Christmas Story.
You do.
Not the Christmas, like the Red Ryder BB gun.
Of course.
Yes. I do. I've been collecting that for years.
The second picture you sent me, I have questions about.
I'll go.
So it's near your front of your house, I would presume, unless you
I don't
have...
know. I can't see it, Josh.
Okay. There's a huge portrait of Santa.
Yeah. The man.
So when you walk into Steve Forbes' house.
Yeah.
The first thing you see is an actual portrait of Santa Claus.
Yeah, he's the man. I mean, he's the reason. He's the man. You can't see it when you walk in the door. That's a lie, Josh, because it's facing in.
Okay, that's true.
Okay.
That is true.
So that's not true.
The picture I'm looking at is facing
only if you're sitting in the living room can you see that.
Whose idea was that?
That's mine. All mine. I take care of all the decorating. I didn't do the tree. Kids do the tree.
Where did you get the portrait
of Santa?
Of Yes.
I've had that for years.
Santa Claus.
I don't. Kirkland's, maybe? I don't know. I mean.
And you bought this with the mindset of, I'm not going to mount it. I'm going to put it on like a special stand.
It's like an easel. Don't they call it an easel? Or easel, like.
For everyone to look at.
Yeah, right. Why wouldn't you?
I'm asking the questions.
If you're a little kid and you come in my house, you're going to be excited.
Yeah.
You're excited to see all these things. That's what it's all about.
That's outstanding. So how long have you had the portrait of Santa?
A while.
It's made many moves.
Not 10. Not all of them, but it's made several. It's made a couple.
Do you have a prized Christmas ornament? A prized Christmas decoration?
You know what? Janet Couch, lady back home in Lone Tree, made stock. She's knitted stockings for everybody in my family with their name on them. Those are pretty cool. You can see them in the picture, Josh.
Yeah.
As far as an ornament, not really.
Okay. Questions asked. And then the second thing we need to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't have this for visual viewers.
Good.
But you have the historical movie list.
I do.
That you
it's
have sent
incredible.
Me.
It's incredible.
It's long.
It's a very long list. I don't know what the color codes mean. There's like a black color code, and then there's red.
Well, I think one is for a series, and one's probably for a movie.
That is exactly what it is. So red is Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video. Black is movies.
Probably.
Yeah, and again, you have it.
In historical, chronological order.
Historical, Gladiator 1, Gladiator 2, Braveheart, and then it's jumping to 1776, Patriot, Hamilton, Last of the Mohicans, 809, Birth of a Nation, Napoleon, Les Miserables.
Well, you're just randomly saying ones because I know there's more in between.
No, the ones that are in between are shows. I'm just doing movies.
Oh, movies. Yeah, okay. And then I still have the what language it's in too, right?
That's it. But they're all in English. All the ones that I've rattled off.
No.
So I mean, when you go
get to
later,
World War II, they're gonna
like Downfall. That's in German, right?
1,000%.
See,
very good call, Will.
I like my history movies. He doesn't believe that.
Yeah, there's a lot in Dutch.
Yeah.
And Danish. Wow.
Yeah.
You have a lot of World War II, man.
Yeah,
you aren't kidding. I don't even know what Black Book or Winter and Wartime is.
Black Book and Winter and Wartime are good Danish movies. Those are good movies. They're subtitled. Very good.
Do you have favorite movies in every language?
I don't know. Probably.
What's your favorite World War II movie?
God, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Because there are about 150 of them.
I know there are. As far as like actuality, probably, and like maybe from all the reading I've done, thinking that this is kind of what it was, I would probably say Downfall.
I thought you were going to say Dunkirk.
No, I did not like that movie. It was too slow for me. Saving Private Ryan, it would be right there with it. Schindler's List, The Pianist.
We almost got him to watch The Pianist.
Yeah. The Pianist is outstanding.
Adrian Brody.
You know, but there's a Russian movie called Come and See. It's really hard to watch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That one's tough.
I stopped scrolling at World War II as a distinction, but then there were about 30 more that are Holocaust.
Yeah.
Just alone on the Holocaust.
The Come and See is really hard to watch.
It is.
But it's important. I think that's in Russian. A couple of those Stalingrad movies are good. I don't know. It's hard.
Do you want to give a review for Nuremberg that just came out?
You know, I went to see it about a month when it came out. I thought it was well done. You know, reading I've done on it. You know, Russell Crowe looks like he gained a few pounds for it over being Hermann Göring. I don't know. I thought it was pretty well done, pretty historically accurate for the most part. I'm sure they took some liberties. But, you know, there's been so many movies about that. It's like, how do you reinvent that? You know, how do you make people interested in it? I was interested. I thought it was pretty spot on.
I didn't expect to see these movies after scrolling through the history. Notorious and Sully.
Yeah, I think history's like how do you view it? It's like an historical event. I think I like a lot of music movies, like Notorious.
I didn't like Bohemian Rhapsody.
I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. I just watched Respect.
Well, I have one rule. I have one rule when it comes to the movie.
Yeah.
like
I've seen Queen in concert though.
See, the problem is, I think it's important that the people who are acting actually sing if they're going to win awards for it.
Yeah. This was his problem with Elvis.
I didn't like Elvis.
Yeah.
I didn't like Bohemian Rhapsody because it's pretty obvious that they're not actually singing. Johnny Cash, that Walk the Line was great.
Outstanding.
Because Joaquin Phoenix is singing. Yes, Jamie Foxx is singing.
You should watch Respect by Aretha Franklin then because name her.
Is it Jennifer Hudson that's in
that? Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that.
Can't mess that up. I mean,
that's right.
I just watched that a little while ago. That was good. Timmy, what's his name?
Chalamet.
Did well in that Bob Dylan movie.
Actually singing, though. That's key.
I just watched this Springsteen movie with the guy from The Bear. He stars in The Bear.
I know what you're talking about.
Jeremy something. Anyway, he was in that movie.
So you like the movie biopics?
I do. I like music and those kind of things. We used to go to a lot of concerts, probably not as many as we used to. But
I have another movie music take. The other movie music take I have is, in order to win the Oscar for Best Original Song, the song has to be played during the movie. I think a cheat that a lot of winners of this award have had in the past is it's used in the credits. That's not during the movie. Like, you had to find a way to use the song in the movie.
Am I correct in saying that, like, was a big Saturday Night Fever fan?
Oh, absolutely.
The Bee Gees. But did
excellent
they,
use
but
of it.
They did not, tell me if I'm wrong, but did they not write the song before they did the movie?
There's some mixed history about this, that was not the song that he actually was dancing to at the beginning.
Yeah, but I think they crafted the whole movie around the song in this article on the Saturday Night Post about...
But it's a great point that you bring up. Goes. Have you seen Saturday Night Fever with Travolta?
Yeah, we did that.
We did.
Okay. We did.
Important. Because that's the best example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song deserves to win Best Original Song. It's integrated into the movie, and you can't separate the images from the song.
Well,
that's
I'll give you that.
Movie takes that I have all over the place. This is a right now or forever hold your peace situation, Steve.
Yeah.
What are some things that you've wanted to get off of your chest? This is the press conference for you. I come to your domain and ask you questions.
Yeah,
is there
okay.
anything that you needed sure. on the way out here?
On the air. Okay, yeah, right.
I didn't know. Is there anything?
Like I asked this question at my radio show last Monday. I said to Marcus Marion, I said, Marcus, and his parents were in there, you can say anything you want to say to me right now in Danish. I did. And he said two words. And I was like, his parents kind of chuckled. And I said, afterwards, I said, what do I mean? He goes, be quiet. I'm like, oh, wow, that was mean. You know, like, you can say whatever you want about me. And I'm like, Josh, no, I'm not going to make myself popular on social media by saying anything outlandish.
Bummer.
I thought, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm happy for you. I think this is an awesome opportunity for you to advance, you know, and you get to go up against some different competitions. Remember what I told him?
What did you tell him?
He said, what do you think? And he'd go up against these guys. I said, well, I mean, I came in here with Coach K, Coach Williams, Coach Boeheim, Coach Hamilton, Coach Larrañaga, and they're all gone, by the way, Coach Bennett. I mean, you don't know until you get a shot and you try, you know, and so I think it's awesome. You know, I think it's what's going to happen to Will over there? What are we doing with him?
I'm just going to sit in the basement and watch movies all day. Let me
see what John Dell said. Yeah. John Dell said.
I didn't say anything.
John Dell said in the paper, Graham didn't know what would happen to the show moving forward, but wouldn't mind seeing Dalton get a shot at his own show. That's what it says in the newspaper.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Then we have to get somebody to go sit over there, right?
You know what his favorite movie we've done?
Did you just flash a headline that says Deke Struggle right there?
I didn't write the headline,
Steve.
I didn't write the story.
It's so perfect. Uh-huh. He did not do that intentionally.
No.
You should know. Yes, he did, Steve.
This dude has watched 3.5 years worth of movies made him watch. 3.5
Three
years
and a half?
Mm-hmm. And it includes The Godfather. It includes Shawshank.
Yeah, yeah.
It includes, I asked him not too long ago, what's the best movie we've had you watch? Your answer was
Roadhouse.
Oh my God. With the old version or the new
the
version?
The old Swayze.
Pretty good movie.
Name's terrific.
Kansas City.
No, look at his hair. Yeah. He now is trying to dress like Dalton.
You're not Dalton, bud.
His name is Dalton.
Can you take your hand like this? Can you pull a guy's throat out?
Yeah, he does. Do you have the boots on today?
Oh, with the...
Does it have like the thing in the boot?
You got the blade
in the boot?
You got the blade?
Yeah. Be excellent. Steve Forbes, I know you're not feeling great.
Thank you. Oh, I feel better now, Josh, that I spent some time with you.
Thank you for everything.
All right, thank you.
When the end of something arrives, you often think about the beginning. What I'll always remember about the first show we did, July of 2018, was a couple minutes before going on air, looking down and seeing a kind good luck tweet from Wes Durham, who has joined the program now. Wes, how much quieter did future ACC media functions get by the headlines related to our show this week?
I think a lot of people are excited for you to make this move. Knowing you're working overnights is probably the comedic part of the whole equation for me, to be honest.
Why is that?
Well, I've met Mike Eby a couple times, the poobah, grand poobah of Westwood One. I felt like sending Mike a text going, hey, Mike, Josh and overnights, that's probably a good spot to start.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to be so pumped full of Celsius and Red Bull and all this jazz. I'm just envisioning with a young child and an understanding wife, apparently. Okay. You like that, didn't you, Will?
I appreciate it.
Yeah. A young child and an understanding wife, you're going to be so pumped full of caffeine to set your body clock every day that really you should YouTube live like the mornings like it from 11 to about 1.
Can I tell you something interesting? I didn't know I'd be sharing this, but it's true and it speaks to Sarah Bradford how amazing she is. When initially I was told,
you have no idea how good you are at recruiting.
Thank you. 11 P to 3A slot came up and I was asked to think about it. And I brought it up to Sarah Bradford and she was a lot more excited about the idea than even I was initially. She talked me into it.
I will say, not to do comparatives here, but the summer after my freshman year, I worked at what was 96 FM WYLT, Light 96 in the Raleigh-Durham market as an overnight disc jockey. Midnight to 6 in the morning, played contemporary hits of the 60s and 70s and 80s. And I will say this, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night is a wheelhouse job if you're going to work overnights. Because then you get Fridays and Saturdays clean. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't blame you for the opportunity, and it's a great company to work for. Got great respect for Mike and the people there, and the good news is you don't have to move to LA.
I have exclusive sound of the pitch that they made to me, which might also sound a lot like John Hamm in the movie The Town.
You know, Clay, we are a national organization.
That's what they are, a national organization, Wes. That's what they are. A national organization.
I work for one of those too.
You do, which is a good transition.
Actually, we're the worldwide leader in sports. You may or may not know.
Also a national organization.
You know, Clay, we are a national organization.
ESPN. Wes, let's use that as a segue because the Carolina Panthers are in first place and so are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yep. And they're playing each other twice and it's crazy. They still haven't played each other up to this point this year. There are 3 weeks left to go in the season. This is a really big game. As somebody who's had eyes on both the Bucs and on the Panthers in the last month, what's your read on this game Sunday?
Good thing it's in Charlotte.
60s and sunny.
Good thing it's in Charlotte. Panthers are much better at home than they are on the road unless they come to Atlanta, is the way I interpret it. In all honesty, I mean, I for the life of me, I cannot understand what happened last Sunday. Can't. Sorry.
Have you figured out what happened last Thursday? The game that you called?
I figured that one out. Well, the only thing I'll justify last Thursday in Tampa with is this. all the things that happened in Atlanta's five-game losing streak that went wrong happened right in a sequence of about 9 minutes of game time. Seriously. Third and 28, and you pick it up?
We heard Mike Evans after the game. Third and 28? Todd Bowles sounded like he was, you know, 80s.
At an Elks Lodge meeting is what he sounded like.
I was going to say, like, he was channeling Eddie Murphy in Delirious. Well,
but here's the other thing. The other part is Tristan Wirfs didn't even want to talk about it. Thought Tristan Wirfs was going to, you know, assault someone in the locker room. What? What do we do? Oh, can't have it. And then Todd Bowles loses his mind. But here's the thing. The fourth and 14 is to David Sills. David Sills.
Is that the former West Virginia Mountaineer?
It is. Yes.
Huh.
Who was part-time quarterback, full-time wide receiver in Morgantown.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about this deal is you can't understand the NFL. You can't make it up. That's why it's the NFL.
Oh, you're telling me that you had it on your bingo card last night, the two-point play where you're throwing the ball backwards off of former Seminole Jared Verse's face into the end zone?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's that time of year. It's December. It's all possible in the National Football League. We get bits and pieces of it in college, Josh. I mean, you know, we get the whole Jared Zabransky, Ian Johnson thing, Boise State, Oklahoma, right? 20 mm-hmm. years ago, whatever it was.
Statue of Liberty, all that.
Yeah, I mean, you get it every once in a while in the college game. We may get some of it in the CFP. Who knows if James Madison has a chance at this? Who knows if Tulane has a chance at it? The experts don't think so. But, I mean, who knows? We're ripe for one of those. Although I think if a road team's going to win, it's going to be Miami, but that's me.
Where'd you go to high school in Greensboro again?
Or
where'd
I didn't you go to school? High school in Greensboro.
Oh.
I went to high school at Apex outside of Raleigh.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, you were a Cougar.
Fighting Cougars.
Alonzo Barnett is the pride of Grimsley High School.
He wore the G. He wore the Georgia G on his head for Grimsley. Yeah.
The Georgia G. Yeah, that's exactly
what
right.
It looks like. The Green Bay G is what I refer to it when I'm on in Atlanta, but it's the Georgia G when I'm on in other markets outside of here.
Getting to the basketball over the weekend, you have all four of the ACC locals playing fascinating games. You have Duke, Texas Tech in Madison Square Garden in primetime tomorrow. The Blue Devils a chance to start 12-0, which they haven't done since their last title team in 2014-2015. You've got Wake Forest hosting unbeaten Vanderbilt, 13th in the country. The Deacs avoiding a scare against the Lancers of Longwood earlier in the week. And then NC State in Greensboro facing Ole Miss. It's North Carolina following up that Rick Pitino Kentucky game in Atlanta. It's going to be Ohio State facing the Tar Heels. Which of these four games are you most interested in or view to be a valuable data point?
I'd say Wake and Vanderbilt. Wake needs the data point, bottom line. NC State needs the data point, too, against Ole Miss. Ole Miss has already lost to Miami. So you need to – if you're going to be NC State, you need to start creating a little bit of the back end of the resume, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot to go with in Maui. By all accounts, that was not good. So now where do you kind of, you know, what's the rate of exchange, so to speak? I saw it last Saturday at Louisville. They housed Memphis, and then they lost to Tennessee without Mykel Brown. I don't think the loss at Tennessee is going to kill Louisville because of all the other work they've done. Wake and NC State need, to your point, data points. They need things to be into consideration if they can make a run once conference play starts. Both teams have shown some really good play, but they don't have a top 50 to hang their hat on, right? They don't have anything right now of a quad one nature. There's Wake Forest.
No.
So they need to create one. Steve knows that. I mean, he's not in the dark on that. He's aware that they need that point. You know, you don't want to be that guy who has to totally spend February and early March justifying your candidacy, right? And that's what you're trying to do. That's what we talked about last Saturday, Corey and I, when we started the Louisville-Memphis game. Was it was almost like a resume building Saturday nationally when you think about it, right? I mean, you had NC State, Kansas. That was a great opportunity for the Wolfpack. They didn't get it done. You had the Alabama-Arizona game in Birmingham. You had Gonzaga and UCLA the other night in Seattle. That full Saturday on ESPN was really kind of a whole building block of games where you could lean in and say, hey, wait a second, these teams now, they're going to have something that the committee wants to talk about. And I think for Wake and NC State tomorrow, Carolina's fine. Duke's fine. You know,
Virginia, Maryland, that could be a big one.
That's Virginia's fine. Better than Maryland, though, Josh, right now.
Oh, yeah,
Virginia's,
for sure. Yeah, Buzz Virginia's is still better. Figuring things out. I don't even know if they're 500. They're a little over 500, I think.
Yeah, I think the others – look, we're getting to kind of create a little bit of a shell of what we think we're going to have once the first week in January hits, or New Year's Eve, New Year's Day type thing for ACC games. And I think, you know, like Clemson now has lost Zach Foster for the year with a torn ACL. So the game at Syracuse on New Year's Eve turns out to be – you know, you got to figure that out. That Clemson's going to stay in this thing. They're going to have to win those type.
Also
games.
On New Year's Eve, NC State hosting Wake Forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who needs that more? Probably Wake Forest, I take the West
depends
Virginia
on
win.
Who wins, you know,
sure.
This weekend.
I take the West Virginia win over any of NC State's wins so far this year.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, again, we're talking about December basketball, which is reflective in the committee discussion of where does that end? How does that bounce?
Well, right? Related to that, mm-hmm. What did you find most interesting about Will Wade's decision to do what he did? And choosing to do that after a 36-point win against Texas Southern.
I just think he's still creating the identity of his program. All the stuff leading up to the start of the season was great. The enthusiasm, the passion, all the roster building that goes on. But again, to the point we've talked about before and people are starting to realize is the norm in college athletics. Basketball is a tougher beast to examine than football because you just don't have that many wheels. You know, you only got 15 of these guys. It's not like, you know, you get 70 and it clicks in football. You know, that's pretty good, right? Like Dan Mullen had 72 new players this year at UNLV. 72. And he's won 10 games.
Yeah, Bill Belichick's about to have the same number. 38 high school kids or 39 in the class. And we'll see how many transfers.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is he had 74 last year and he won, what, 4?
Yeah.
So it can go both ways. In basketball, it's a little more pronounced because I'll give you – you want me to give you an example? Cade Tyson. You see what Cade Tyson did the other night in Minnesota?
He has been – I don't know if it's been quite as prolific as Tyler Nickel at Vanderbilt, who's going to be in Winston, but he's been pretty good.
Cade Tyson has become Steph Curry at Minnesota.
I haven't noticed.
I'm
going to do this right now. You
Will,
noticed this,
dude,
Will?
Didn't he have like a 38?
Was it 38 the other night?
38.
I have it up now.
Take a look at it.
11 of 19, 8 of 12 from 3. This was not on my radar.
It's wild.
Also against Texas Southern.
That's what I'm saying.
So Paul McNeil lights up Texas Southern, and then Cade Tyson does too.
I'll tell you what now. There'll be, as the old baseball analogy, there'll be a fight at the bat rack if Texas Southern's on your schedule. Because apparently they don't guard anybody. Hey, here's the other thing too. Did you see what Dennis Parker Jr. did at Radford last Sunday? Did you?
Tell me.
Two former NC State guys who barely got off the bench for Keats. Wait till I see Keats again.
Oh, man.
Dennis Parker Jr. went for 53 against Chuck Southern last Sunday for Radford. 53. He didn't score 53 in 2 years in Raleigh. And then Paul McNeil, who, as you know, was in witness protection till what, February last year?
Yeah.
Had how many the other night? 47?
Crazy.
Is that what it was, Will? 47?
I think it was something.
A record of three he went from. Hey, yeah, 47.
12, yeah.
11 threes. 11 threes.
11 threes.
It's just, not, it's just stupid.
Holy smokes. And you couldn't have, you would have had to have the roster with the pictures on them to identify them on the bench last year in Raleigh.
West Durham. It's always
I'm
great.
I'm just saying. Oh, this is it? We're done? This is the fond farewell? I'm not going to be on 600 WSJS anymore?
We still have the drop where, you know, anytime West Durham is mentioned on the program, we make sure to
we let the people know what's
a little bit of respect.
The legendary WSJS.
A little bit of respect. I mean, I just remember getting here, and it was obvious. It's like, hey, the bar is low in terms of like sports talk. Like no one's lasted more than 2 years here, but the bar is so high when you talk about the history of this place. And you get it.
It's unbelievable.
I don't aspire to think I'm in the class of a Glenn Scott or certainly not Gene Overby, the legend there. But you're somebody that understands this area so well. Yeah. I don't think I've ever asked you, with your dad's background at Wake Forest, did he ever have involvement at WSJS? Was that ever something that he spent time at all?
I don't know that that happened very much. You know, when he did Wake Forest in the 60s, he was doing Channel 2. So he was at Channel 2 doing sports from 1963 on. He was doing Wake football in that middle 60s group of Piccolo and Makovic, and Bill Tate was the coach, who recently just passed away. I don't know how much interaction he had at Channel 12. He and Gene were friends for sure. I remember meeting Gene Overby, when I was six or seven years old. Charlie Harville is who my dad replaced at Channel 2 because he was going to the news station. Nice. I saw that, Will. Charlie Harville was going to the news station, Channel 8, right, in the area. And my dad replaced Charlie Harville at Channel 2. That's how my dad got the job.
Huh.
And so he did Wake Forest, and then he did Guilford football while he was still doing basketball on TV for Chesley. So, and then Gene Overby's son went to Elon ahead of me. He was in school before me at Elon, maybe 4 or 5 years ahead of me at Elon, I think. So anyway,
I appreciate you always making an effort.
Good luck. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. I think you'll do a terrific job. As I told you, I got great respect for Mike and the people at Westwood One. And you got a hell of a lineup now. It's a great idea, great product launched by them. So I'm glad you're a part of it. Get your sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You and baby Daniel take naps about the same time for the next 2.5 years, which will be solid. Sarah Bradford will cherish those moments at the house.
Oh, yeah. I just can't wait to get Wes Durham on the overnight show.
There is absolutely no chance I'm doing a live hit with you, by the way. Zero.
I need something for the 2:15 slot.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. At 2:15 slot, I have to be taped about 10:30.
You know why we're capable of doing that? They have the resources at a national organization.
Yo, Clay, we are a national organization.
Like Western.
Here's the other. Hey, let me tell you this. I turned 60 in January.
Huh?
10:30 becomes 10 o'clock is the ceiling in January. Put my old rear end to bed.
You don't let me find out you got a 9 o'clock tip somewhere, I'm going to hit you up and be like, on the drive back from the hotel, I'll get you on the phone.
3D will have to be propping me up on the way into the second half if we have those 9 o'clock tips.
Wes,
take care, Josh. Congratulations.
Let's go, baby.
What, kind of like this?
Let's go!
The Drive with Josh Graham.
We've made it to a Friday drive. It's WSJS. News, talk, sports for the triad. Where Wes Durham's going to be our guest 15 minutes from now. Before we get to Wes, though, we probably should talk about the biggest football game during the 7.5 year run of this show. At least the biggest football game involving the NFL professional team that calls Bank of America Stadium home in Uptown Charlotte. Listen, the setting is perfectly ripe for the Carolina Panthers to win Sunday afternoon. The trends, really since October, all points to Carolina. The Bucs have won they started 6-2. They've lost 5 of their last 6 games. Last week, 3rd and 28, can't get off the field. Game-winning field goal for Atlanta. The Falcons had close to 20 penalties in the game. Tampa still couldn't win on their home field against a team with nothing to play for. they are imploding. Carolina, meanwhile, hasn't lost consecutive games since starting 0-2. And of course, they lost in New Orleans last weekend. So they haven't lost consecutive games since week two. They lost to New Orleans last week. If you're doing the math in your head, you could see where things are trending on paper. The Panthers, they've also proven to rise to the occasion. This is the sign of an immature team, and Carolina has been that. We've talked about it quite a bit. Playing up and down to your competition. Carolina played down to the New Orleans Saints, not once, but twice. Carolina played down to teams early on in the year. The Panthers play up to teams too, though. And when it's a big game, they show up. That Cowboy game in Charlotte felt big. Carolina won in a close one. The game at Lambeau felt big. Carolina, another last-second win. The Rams home game, that was huge. Carolina holding on again. All of those games, though, pale in comparison to the stakes of this game on Sunday. It is an absolute must-win game for the Carolina Panthers. It is first place on the line in the NFC South. Both teams are tied at 7-7. The Bucs, you don't let them off the mat, especially when they have the head-to-head tiebreaker with you if you should split the last two meetings and still finish with the same record. Carolina, if you lose this game at home, you're going to have to win the last two games. And one of those games is against a team that has the best record in the NFC right now. The Seattle Seahawks winning a crazy game against the LA Rams. All of this says Carolina has to win the football game. Full stop. And there haven't been many times that we've said this and meant it. But on Sunday, the Panthers should have a real home field advantage. Usually, when Bank of America Stadium is packed, it's because you're playing the Cowboys or you're playing the Bills. You're playing a fan base, a team with a fan base that will travel and pack your stadium. Sunday should be packed, and it should be packed full of Panther fans. It is likely to be a special scene, a special atmosphere in Uptown. Temperatures are in the 60s. Sunny skies are in the forecast. And again, all of this is at stake. And it's worth noting, it's important to note, the Panthers have only lost twice at home this year. They've been a pretty good home team. And that's not going to change on Sunday. The Carolina Panthers not only beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Will, they win the game by double digits. We got Carolina 27, Tampa 17. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this program. Wes Durham dropping by in just a little bit. What is this?
You didn't know the Gasparilla Bowl's going on?
We're doing this.
Still 31-7.
Yeah.
Pack have kind of left their foot off the gas a little bit. I mean, it's a bowl game.
It's live action.
They got it in the back. But this is going to snap a six-game losing streak in bowl games, their last six. So shout out to the Pack, getting it done. Now just keep C.J. Bailey around another year. Now you really be winning.
Really had to interrupt that?
I did. People need to know.
Thank you for that. Alabama, wow. Oklahoma's later tonight. Kennesaw State got blasted by Western Michigan. Real quickly, hitting on some picks. Last three bets that we're handing out on the show, Will. Panthers plus +3. Rather than take the money line, you might be better off just taking Carolina plus +330 to win the NFC South at this point. Because if you win the game, you're probably going to win the NFC South, and there's a lot more value there than the plus +124 of just winning the game. Bengals minus -4.5 against the Dolphins. That's just for you, Will. That's what that is. And also, I don't think Quinn Ewers is good. And I still think the Bengals are going to be playing hard. Joe Burrow didn't return to lose all these games. And then this feels like a trap, but I can't not take the 3 points with the Patriots plus 3 against the Ravens. So Panthers plus 3, Bengals minus 4.5, Patriots plus 3. Those are the picks for this weekend. JC Horn, tell the people what to do.
Send me that cash out, family.
Also got Ohio State winning the national championship over Oregon in the CFP. Getting to ACC basketball, this weekend is a valuable data point for the ACC Big Four. Our locals all playing in games that are worth watching for sure. Duke, Texas Tech is the main event. Primetime, MSG, two top 20 teams, network national broadcast on Fox. This is likely the second most difficult game that Duke's had this year. They're 11-0. They've played high major teams. Played Texas. Turns out Texas isn't all that great. You played Florida, but it was inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. So other than the Michigan State win on the road, this might be the most difficult game, either this or the Arkansas win that you had on Thanksgiving Day. Texas Tech's pretty good. They're a tough team. And if the Blue Devils win it, they will start 12-0. The last time Duke's had a team to start 12-0 was the most recent national title squad in 2014-2015, led by Jahlil Okafor. The most important game of the weekend is Wake Forest-Vanderbilt. The Deeks, they're welcoming a top 15 team to the Joel. Vandy's 11-0, ranked 13th in the country. And remember, when you look at the AP poll, you see, in terms of teams ranked pretty high for the ACC, Duke and Carolina right there. Unfortunately, Duke and Carolina, neither of them come to the Joel this year. So facing Vandy, a top 15 ranked team right now, on your home court, it's a rare opportunity for a quad one win on your home court. Don't waste it if you're Wake. They desperately need a resume win. They weren't able to get it against Michigan, but they were close. Probably should have had it. They weren't able to get it against Texas Tech. Also close. Probably should have had that too. Did beat West Virginia, which is a good win. Beat Memphis as well. If you win this game, you're feeling like you're in good shape. If you lose it, you don't feel like you're in great shape at the start of conference play. So it's a real swing game. And then there's North Carolina and NC State. They both should win their non-conference games. The Tar Heels follow Rick Pitino's clash with Kentucky at the CBS Sports Classic in Atlanta. The Tar Heels will face Ohio State. Seth Trimble will return to the lineup exactly 6 weeks after he injured, breaking a bone in his forearm. And then there's NC State. They face an unspecial Ole Miss team in Greensboro Sunday afternoon. The Wolfpack, how are they going to respond after Will Wade laid into them publicly following the 36-point win against Texas Southern? Great weekend. Football, basketball, hockey. Oh, it's just a little bit of everything. The NFL slate rules. You sign up for all of that.